This hour is brought to you by Abbey Springs Golf Course on the shores of Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. For tee times, visit abbeysprings.org.
Feels great. Since it's the first day, you know, getting a taste of what it's like here. Really exciting, really happy. I mean, not only, you know, to be here with my family and stuff, but also to be able to have Roma Dunze at number 9. It's pretty sick, right? You know, so really happy, really excited, ready to get going.
That was Caleb Williams after he was drafted first overall by the Bears last year. Why are we going back that far? Because of an article on ESPN that just came out detailing quotes from his dad, Carl, in part of a blockbuster book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback that is set to be released in September. The author of the book now joins us on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today. It is Seth Wickersham of ESPN and the author of this book who got the quotes from Carl Williams, Caleb's dad. Thank you for joining us on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Hey, great to talk to you guys.
Seth, we're just so curious because this came out of nowhere in terms of we're moving on with Ben Johnson as the head coach, Caleb Williams getting a fresh start after what had to be a frustrating rookie year in which his team lost 10 games in a row. And so much was unearthed here in these quotes that you got both before the draft and I guess the update when you talked with Carl Williams again after that rocky rookie season. Help us understand exactly what Carl's mindset was and why he wanted his son to avoid playing for the Chicago Bears and ultimately what changed their minds.
Well, look, I think that Carl is a very astute guy. And we can talk about, you know, the unhinged quarterback dads all we want. But there's like a point to this, and that's that a lot of the success for quarterbacks depends on luck and it depends on your employer. And he wanted his son to have the best chance of success and to go to a team that, you know, had an established and innovative offensive mind. And, you know, he wanted to try to figure out ways for that to happen, whether it was, you know, he tried to find like any loophole he could. He consulted with lawyers, people like Marvin Demoff, Archie Manning, who helped do a little bit of that with Eli Manning back in the day. They considered whether to sign with the United Football League, you know, for a year and then be, if that would let him be an unrestricted free agent now. But as it got closer, it was just clear that their options were limited. You know, the only thing he could really do was return to school. He didn't want to do that. And so they went forward with the draft process. He went to the combine. He met with the Bears and he met also with Kevin O'Connell, head coach of the Vikings. And he really vibed well with O'Connell, so much to the point where he kind of started to dream of working with him. Obviously, that was a real long shot because the Vikings are a divisional rival, and I don't think the Bears were going to trade Caleb or the pick to a divisional rival. So it kind of left it to them as like, you know, what are you going to do? And Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, told Caleb, "We're drafting you no matter what." And so really his only option was to try to do what Jack and John Elway did in 1983. And that's, you know, go after a city and make it, the situation untenable. Carl Williams was ready to do it if that's what his son wanted. But at the end of the day, Caleb didn't want to. And as he told me, I wasn't ready to nuke Chicago. And, you know, after he visited the Bears, he came back and said, you know, I can do it here. I want to be a Bear.
I think, Seth, a lot of the way this is constructed, the reports from Carl to you, they take a lot of blame off of Caleb Williams. And I, you know, obviously that's how we're reading it at face value. And I know that he has that reputation of wanting to do everything he possibly can for us. So we knew all about the team that Caleb had around him leading up to this draft. What was the sense you got as far as when he was telling you these things? The intent, was it an honesty? Was it candor? Was it the fact that he's lamenting the fact that he's here? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I mean, I spent time with, you know, Carl and Caleb before his final season at USC. You know, obviously Carl and Caleb to a certain extent were thinking a lot about the draft in the lead up to the draft. So little bit of a ongoing conversation. And then, you know, I just kept reporting on it. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's a boring answer, but it's kind of how it is.
What about the piece where you talk about Shane Waldron and Caleb mm-hmm. Williams not knowing if he could do that, if he could work yeah. with Shane Waldron? What point did that conversation take place? We're just trying to draw a timeline, because obviously Shane Waldron lost his job, as did Matt Eberflus mm-hmm. later on in the season. Can you give us some type of timeline?
Well, so when Waldron was brought in, I think that the collective reaction from the Williams camp was a little underwhelmed. And then they met, and, you know, and Caleb's actually spoken publicly about this, but, you know, he was kind of wondering how they would vibe. And I think it was fine, but he really vibed with Kevin O'Connell. And Kevin O'Connell obviously played quarterback. I think he was a 4-year starter at San Diego State. He played in the NFL for a bit. He's an outstanding offensive mind. And, you know, it really got Caleb energized. But I think as the process went on and he visited the Bears, you know, I think he was energized by the idea of helping being part of the process to turn that team around.
And then also same kind of question with the timeline. You describe him watching film, but had no mm-hmm. one to guide him and tell him what to watch. At what point of the season was that? Because, this is a guy who's now on his third play caller with Ben Johnson taking over as head coach. I'm just curious as to when he started to realize he wasn't getting what he thought he needed.
Yeah, it was early on and during the season. I think that, you know, he said publicly he wanted to be coached hard. And I don't know if he quite felt that way, you know, once the season was going. And I think that he's really eager for Ben Johnson to coach him hard and to challenge him. And that quote stands out, and it, you know, it makes you shake your head at what's going on in the NFL at times. And, you know, that happens quite a bit. I hate to say it. It's such an indictment on the league, especially at the game's most important position. But, like, you know, Alex Smith has talked about it, and I talked about that with Caleb, where, you know, he was the number one pick of the draft. He goes to a team, and he's watching film by himself. No one taught him how to watch film. And so when he later on in his career goes to the Chiefs and they draft someone by the name of Patrick Mahomes, you know, Alex Smith really took it upon himself to teach Patrick these things that no one taught him, mm-hmm. how to watch film, the ways you do it from the inside out, that type of thing. And, you know, that's the type of instruction that, you know, the Bears didn't provide at times for Caleb Williams. And I think it's a massive indictment on, you know, that staff.
This is ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. The book American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, is publishing in September. The article that we are discussing with him are excerpts from Caleb Williams' dad, Carl Williams, talking to him about his son, the draft process, and then what happened afterward. So we have the quote here that you have from Williams, Seth, saying, "I don't want my son playing for the Bears," Williams told several agents in 2024. Mm-hmm. After that reported discussion where Caleb Williams then told Carl, he didn't want to nuke the city, were the words that he mm-hmm. used. He didn't want to go against this city. What became Carl's attitude?
He was supporting his son, but he was skeptical. I mean, you know, look at, you know, Carl Williams on Twitter. You know, you can Google it, but, you know, he would tweet things that were, you know, things that made the coaching staff look bad. So it was pretty obvious, you know, how he thought the season was going. And, you know, they didn't play well. I mean, everything he thought could happen, sadly, did happen. I mean, he saw it coming, and that's one of the reasons why he was so passionate about his willingness to take bullets and do what was necessary for his son to have the best chance of success.
Yeah, I think I measured that as Carl Williams being a protective dad, as he should, and wanting the best for his son. I can certainly see where he's coming from in all this, especially given how last season actually did play out. My question is this: have you had any communication with Carl or Caleb since the Ben Johnson announcement? And if so, what has the attitude been towards Ben Johnson, just in relation to maybe how they described everything before, yeah, specifically Kevin O'Connell?
I saw Caleb, I want to say it was after the Johnson hire, and it was maybe early February, I want to say. And I did ask him if, you know, he obviously, like, you know, when he came out and he was drafted and they called his name, you know, he wheeled around that corner and you saw him scream, just let out that huge exhale that release. And I did ask him whether, you know, the scream that he let out when Ben Johnson was hired was similar in terms of emotion. I think it was. I think he's pretty excited.
I think, Seth, also, you mentioned that scream, and even as I'm picturing it right now, knowing the information that has been released already as part of this book, I think there's a lot of us who wonder what it really meant, if it was truly genuine. You know, how much did that draft visit matter when it came to all the other quotes that you have before?
Which quote?
Well, just all the quotes about not wanting to come here.
What I was trying to take people into was just a little bit of their deliberation process. Like, how serious it got, it was ultimately Caleb's decision. He made the decision as a grown-up, and he, you know, believed he could make it as a Bear. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
I'm really interested because the book, American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback, mm-hmm. this is just one facet of it. I know you had access to so many just legends, John Elway, Johnny Unitas, mm-hmm. Warren Moon, the members of the Manning family, as you talked about, Steve Young, mm-hmm. also Kirk Cousins and Drake May, currently playing in the NFL. What was your biggest takeaway through the process of writing this book on the state of the NFL and the quarterback position?
Oh, man. You might have to ask me that again in September when it comes out, when I've had a little bit more time to think about it. I mean, you know, I think what's fascinating is just that, you know, a high school quarterback is not a college quarterback. A college quarterback is not an NFL quarterback. An NFL quarterback is not a generational one. And yet they all have something in common. And when you sign up to do it, especially in this moment of time when it's such a big position and the adulation and the celebrity around it is so great, I think it requires a really unique skill set. At times, you know, you need to be the therapist for the team. At other times, you need to be the biggest jerk on the team. The ego required to go through a game, to enter, you know, walk onto a field on game day without doubt, without feeling doubt, I think is really fascinating. And, you know, a lot of those things have been true as long as the quarterback position's been around, and hopefully people enjoy it.
Seth, how close do you think the Williams family was to actually not being drafted by the Bears in some way, either getting out of it or having one of these plans come to fruition?
I mean, I think it was like, you know, the gasoline's out, do we want to light the match? And Caleb didn't want to light the match.
Wow.
Looking at the experience you've had talking to these quarterbacks, and whether it was agents, whether it was members of different organizations, you know, what Carl Williams said about the Bears being where quarterbacks go to die, he's not the first person to say that. My question mm-hmm. is, through your research, your conversations, how dysfunctional did the Bears appear to be compared to other NFL organizations?
Well, I mean, the head coach and the offensive coordinator didn't make it through the season. So, I mean, you know, this isn't exactly the LA Rams offensive operation. Let's just put it that way.
Hmm. What were your takeaways from the definitive quote, I think, too, just from Ryan Poles, where it says in this article, Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm telling Williams we're drafting you no matter what. What were your takeaways from the tone, and then also anything you gleaned on the Bears side of it from that that quote as well?
It reminded me a little bit of like Ernie Accorsi in 1983, where, you know, he basically is like, my job is to pick the best player, and that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, he picked Elway, and of course, within a week, Elway was traded for, you know, not much of a haul compared to what the Colts could have gotten ahead of time. The Bears were all in on Caleb. I mean, they did not scout Jaden Daniels. You know, they were all in on Caleb. And so, like, you know, he was their guy. And, you know, how, whether that was wise or not, you know, who pans out, who doesn't, you know, a lot of that has to do with luck and circumstance, but, you know, the jury's out. And, you know, Poles made some decisions. He let go of the head coach. He brought in a new one. He got a guy that I know a lot of offensive minds around the league study and steal from. And so I think that, like, you know, there is that opportunity for Caleb to have the pieces in place that maybe would have been better to have a year ago.
I think it also just illustrates the apparent conflict there was and the tense nature of the situation at the time, where it implies that the Bears were aware of what was happening and they already were going into this knowing they might not have a willing participant. Is that fair?
I mean, they had leverage. They had the ultimate leverage at that point. And so, you know, what teams say is football players play football. And, you know, Caleb Williams is a football player. And, you know, so I think that they, you know, believed in their process to make an impression on him throughout the draft process, and they did. And I think that, you know, he was sincerely excited to be a Bear and be part of that turnaround process, you know, as I detailed in there. Obviously, the first season was a mess, and, you know, we'll see whether Caleb turns out to be, you know, the exception to the rule that the Bears haven't had in a very, very, very long time, or, you know, as Carl told me, where he says Chicago is the place quarterbacks go to die.
I mean, when you,
every time you say it, it just elicits a reaction, like every single time.
I think the reason why, Seth, is because it's not even an original thought. So many different people have said it, from whether it's a fan, whether it's media, whether it's agents, whether it's a parent. It's been said so many times. We're hoping that trend is over here in Chicago, but there's no evidence that it is. But it seems like at the time, right now, that they've put a structure in place in which he can succeed. Because right now, he's not even the best quarterback in his draft class by performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think the good thing is everyone's fates are tied, right? You know, I mean, Caleb's fate is tied to Ben Johnson's, whose fate is tied to Ryan Poles, whose fate is tied to their success. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Seth, again, just thank you for your time. The book is called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. I know we've asked you a ton of questions about this article. What else do you want to share with us that you think is valid for the audience to know, and just what they can expect, you know, either out of the book or just more background?
Well, I mean, the book is a broad book. I mean, I hope it's the most comprehensive look at this position and this unique American job with uniquely American responsibilities, and what it's like to do it from high school to college to the NFL, and what it's like to live with it, you know, in retirement, and, you know, how it came to be, why this position, you know, ended up taking over, you know, shortstops on college campuses and center field for the Yankees in pro sports. And, I think there's just a lot of cool stuff in there, and, you know, Caleb's a character in it, and his story matters, but there's a lot of stories in there that I hope people enjoy.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We look forward to more articles coming out in connection to this. Something tells me this won't be the only one. Is that fair to say, at least?
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully it won't be.
Okay, so more articles that'll come out previewing this book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this massive piece of news with us on The Score.
Thanks, Seth.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Seth. This is Rahimi and Harris. We also have a major station announcement. That is coming up next.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If you just missed our last segment, I strongly recommend you go back on the Odyssey app and check out the rewind feature. Look at our chapters on Rahimi and Harris. We just finished talking to ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham, the author of the book that is coming out in September, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. Massive details regarding the family of Caleb Williams, his dad Carl, and what went on before he ended up being drafted first overall by the Bears last season.
They seriously considered trying to evade the Bears in a way in which they would not have to play for the organization, exploring all kinds of options, including even possibly playing a year in the UFL if that could somehow drive him into undrafted free agent territory.
He could have gone back to USC, but as we just heard from Seth, that was not the option that they wanted to take. So that is I strongly recommend you go back and listen. We've been talking about it for the last few segments, and for good reason. That came out earlier in the hour.
It was a good segment, and I'm glad Seth was able to join us to give us some context on the stuff that he found out in writing that book.
And not only that, but we have a couple giveaways we have to take care of too, right? Before we get to everything.
Let's start with Coombs Corner. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of Coombs Corner.
Hey, baseball fans, you can head to Coombs Corner in Lockport after the game tomorrow. Enjoy Yuengling game day buckets for $12. Score some Yuengling swag plus live music later on that night. Don't miss the post game party tomorrow night at Coombs Corner in Lockport.
And we talked about Crosstown too. That was earlier in the show. Again, that rewind feature will get you there. And tune in tomorrow morning for Mully and Haw's Crosstown series preview from 5:30 to 10, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage in front of a studio audience. They're going to have Tommy Hotovy at 7, Ron Coomer at 8 in studio talking Cubs. And they will also have the White Sox TV team. Ozzie Guillen and Chuck Garfine will be in studio at 9 a.m. That is tomorrow, starting at 5:30 on The Score and the Odyssey app. And now it is time for a major Score announcement. We are very excited to tell you that 670 The Score has partnered with the Chicago Sky and will broadcast 7 of the team's games in the upcoming season. And the broadcast will feature an all-woman broadcast team. Kylan Mills is handling play-by-play. You know her from the Big Ten Network as well. I will be part of it as well. I will be an analyst, and Alyssa Bergamini is hosting the pre- and post-game shows. And these games can be heard on 670 The Score or by downloading the Odyssey app. I know, very exciting. The first game on The Score is next Thursday's home opener against the New York Liberty. The Score is also going to broadcast the two home games at the Indiana Fever on June 7th and July 27th. We've got more details and a full schedule at 670thescore.com. And now we go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And we are happy to make this announcement with Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO. Adam, thank you so much for joining us and for teaming up with The Score.
Well, thanks to both of you. And before anything else, congratulations to both of you on the new show and the time slot. Been a long time listener, so glad to join you guys here today. And we're super excited to be part of The Score.
Marshall even wore the W shirt in honor of the announcement today.
I have several W shirts. It's not a big deal. I've always supported the W. I'm a long time. the comments when they were going back to back and just keep winning titles, that's how I got hooked on to the WNBA. But excited for this partnership, Adam, as I know you must be as well, along with the organization. Tell us just a little bit about how this came together and the importance of getting these games not only on your TV set, but also over the air.
Yeah, it really came together. You know, a lot of thanks, and Mitch was really into it. Like he was sort of the catalyst for all this to start happening. And you know, I think he saw what we're all seeing now, which is the last 12 to 18 months, the popularity of the W has taken off. We are really have moved ourselves into the sports culture, not only in Chicago, but around the country. And I think we saw an opportunity to do something great. Score, obviously, with a tremendous reach and a lot of listeners, and a chance for us to continue to expose our product to everybody around the area.
And if you want to see Adam Fox, you can check him out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore, here to join us with this great announcement. It's such a pleasure to be part of the broadcast crew for this, Adam, especially when you consider working with Kylan Mills and also Alyssa Bergamini. To be able to promote this in such a way as a broadcast team really means a lot, but also to do this together. You know, what can you tell us about just the excitement that we can have experiencing not only the games over the air, but also what home fans might see this season?
Well, I think a few things. I think having worked with Kylan before, I think you guys are gonna be great. What a great team that Mitch put together. The excitement on the radio will be fantastic. You're going to be in a noisy environment. You're going to be in an environment that's going to hit. We'll certainly get all the senses going, because you're going to see great action. You're going to see a lot of intensity, and you're going to see what we're really proud about are large and enthusiastic crowds that have continued to come out to the Wintrust Arena now over the last couple of years.
I know a lot of people are excited about the new players that you guys have added to this team. You can look at Ariel Atkins. Obviously, Haley Van Lith had a huge following in college. What are you most excited about in terms of new personnel on this team? And with a new coach and Tyler Marsh, I know there's going to be change.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it sort of starts with Tyler. We had a remarkable draft last year where we added two real foundational pieces in Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso. We brought back brought back Courtney Vandersloot, which every team needs a great point guard. Then you added great veterans like Ariel Atkins, Kia Nurse, returning players like Michaela Anyanwere and Rachel Banham. And what we've done is surround our post players with a lot of great shooting. And when you have leadership from Tyler and the structure that he has and what he's trying to do, and you combine it with players that are just great people, we have great players that are great people and a great coach, you end up working yourself into a recipe that's going to make a significant difference in how we play this year.
We're talking to Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO, about becoming a broadcast partnership team. Seven Sky games. You can hear them on the Score this season, starting with March 22nd against the New York Liberty at 7 p.m. I also want to talk about the big news when it came to the venue change. Last year, this was something that a lot of fans asked about. I'm sure it was discussed as well with you all, but logistics didn't necessarily make it work, but not the case this year. June 7th, the Sky take on the Indiana Fever at the United Center, happening again on July 27th. What can you tell us about just getting the UC as a partner in all of this and making sure as many people as possible can see these games?
Well, yeah, thank you for mentioning last year. I mean, last year, logistics just didn't work. The building was booked. The Democratic Convention was there for the last game. And so we really didn't have the opportunity last year. But the first people who really made it work were the good people at MPEA. The leadership there who operate the Wintrust Arena, they shared the vision. They saw what was going to be really good for the city and for the fans. And that made it easy for us to go and talk to the United Center. And all the folks there couldn't have been nicer. And couldn't have been more interested in hosting the games. And as you said, Layla, I mean, it allows us to take the capacity, basically double the capacity, and bring more people in. And we think we're going to have a really, really great environment. It'll almost be like given the amount of Indiana or Caitlin Clark fans that tend to come to the games, it'll almost be like a really good high school or college game when the crowd gets going back and forth. So it should be a pretty wild environment.
Hopefully the Caitlin Clark fans don't outnumber the Chicago Sky fans. That's the goal.
What he said.
I still think Chicago will turn out and will have more than they will.
What has been the fan support when it comes to getting more big names on this team? I talk all the time about people wanting to know who to cheer for. Players like you mentioned, Courtney Vandersloot, you know, a veteran presence in this league, but Camilla Cardoso and Angel Reese now in their second season, then adding Haley Van Lith. This is a star-studded team. A lot of casual fans now know where some of their favorite players are going to be playing for the Sky.
Yeah, having the name recognition and the connectivity with fans that Angel and Camilla and Haley bring because of their youth and their ability and how well they've utilized social media and created a following has been a huge deal. I think when you watch Courtney Vandersloot play basketball, even though she's has been in the league for a long time, she still runs the floor like a young kid. And to be able to make things happen with the kind of players and shooting that we have, you're going to have a lot of players to root for. And they're all going to be making really good. Courtney Vandersloot will get you the ball exactly where you want it so that you can make a play. And that play is going to be exciting, and people are going to really enjoy watching the caliber of basketball we're going to play this year.
Anything else you want to tell us while we still have you on the line about the broadcast partnership and about what you think is going to happen this season before we let you go?
Well, I think we're really excited, again, to be in different platforms, whether it's on TV, on WCIU locally, or whether it's on the Score. What do they always say? TV up, TV volume down, and listen to the Score for those seven games.
Sure.
To make sure that you're getting the best of both worlds. And it's just going to be – the arrow is really pointed up for us, and we're looking to create a run now here of extended success, and we're really glad that the Score is going to join us for the first year of that extended run.
Well, we are too, and I know I am happy to be a part of that team, the Sky Broadcast team, a part of the 670 The Score team, and also a team of people who want to watch and want to absorb the WNBA as much as they possibly can. So, Adam Fox, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for this big announcement on the Score.
Thanks, Adam.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. That was Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO. And yeah, big news on the score today. It's just been one of those days where things have been happening real time. But just to give you guys a look at the schedule, on May 22nd, it starts with us, the Sky taking on the New York Liberty. That is at 7 p.m. Yes, the two games at home against the Indiana Fever at the United Center. June 7th, that is at 7 p.m. And also the July 27th game, that's at 2 p.m. There's also a game on July 14th against the Minnesota Lynx. That is at 7. August 7th, you've got the Atlanta Dream at 7 p.m. August 23rd, the Sky taking on the Connecticut Sun at 3 p.m. And August 25th, the Las Vegas Aces at 7 p.m. as well. This is an exciting season and an exciting time to pair up with the WNBA. I'm thrilled to be able to add another sport to my resume when it comes to being able to cover teams and live events, and to do this is really cool.
As a longtime WNBA follower and Sky follower since I got to the city of Chicago, you're going to have a blast.
It's just great to be able to be where people are. If you want to consume the WNBA more, this is a great opportunity to be able to do so. And I'm excited to work with Kylan Mills, who I think is a really seasoned and experienced broadcaster. For her to be a part of this is really awesome. Big Ten Network, Fox Sports, Ion for the NWSL, the CW. She's everywhere.
She is omnipresent, as they say. She used to be in Northern California when I was there. I actually used to work with her husband.
No way.
Yes. Charlie Walter.
See, that's really cool. So there's a picture of her interviewing Paige Beckers just on her Twitter page if you want to check it out on X, Kylan Mills, at Kylan Mills. And of course, you know, Alyssa Bergamini, you hear her all the time on Bulls games, so we're thrilled to have her be a part of this as well. A lot of hoops on the score. The more hoops, the better.
I what are you talking about? I don't even like basketball.
Says Marshall, wearing a WNBA shirt.
What?
Maybe the biggest lie he's ever told.
No one even believes it. It's fine.
We have another giveaway. How many major station announcements can we fit in into this segment?
Yeah, we have a giveaway. Caller six to the score line right now. Score contest line. That's 312-540-0670. They'll win a pair of tickets to See the Who Sunday, September 7th at the United Center. Tickets go on sale this Friday, May 16th.
That's really exciting. Oh, wow. And we're now being joined by a special guest. That's exciting, too. We were told to stay on the line. Tell us what we need to do. Is that happening right now? A lot of real-time stuff happening on the score right now. Just announced our partnership with the Chicago Sky. We are broadcasting seven games, and we have another guest joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Ariel Atkins is joining us now from the Sky. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us on the score.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you. We're excited to broadcast your games coming up. What can you tell us about how practice has gone so far and how you're getting ready for the regular season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been extremely competitive, super energetic. I think we're going to be a really fun group to watch.
Ariel, what's the biggest change? I know you've spent your whole career with one team in Washington, but now you're on the Sky. What do you think the biggest difference is going to be with this setup and working with a couple of established post players who are still young, kind of finding their way, but your guys are set up to surround them with a lot of shooting? You're a career 36% shooter from beyond.
Honestly, just figuring each other out. I think that's the biggest thing for us moving forward is learning how to build that chemistry and figure out what each other likes to do.
What about Tyler Marsh? Tell us a little bit about your head coach and how that assimilation process is going when you're talking about the chemistry, because I know it starts with the head coach and works its way down.
For sure. I think something that he's done a phenomenal job of from day one is clear communication about what he wants every day within our practices and how we want to approach every day, from be it from practice, be it how we get on the bus, be it how we represent Chicago and everything that we do. So that's something that for me has been huge, especially a vet coming in with a new head coach. He's been very adamant about what he wants and very clear.
Ariel, what do you think about the overall star power on this team and the level of talent in this group that you're joining?
I think a lot of people should be more respectful of what we have in this room.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Is there anybody you want to call out? Because that's what we do here. We shout people out on the radio.
Not anybody necessarily. I mean, we have to figure it out together first and foremost. But I think we have a lot of people in this room that are very capable of building a culture and pushing a program to great heights. And I think it's something that we can do together if we stay the course.
We're talking with Ariel Atkins. She is a guard for the Chicago Sky. We'll be broadcasting 7 of their games here on 670 The Score. She is joining us after spending the last 7 seasons in Washington. And she's a 2-time All-Star, been all defense 5 different times. So I know you bring a little chippiness with you to the Sky. Yeah. I want to know more about the personalities on that team. What have you learned about your teammates here as you guys get to know each other both on and off the court?
Just a fun bunch of people who honestly just love life and enjoy playing basketball, I think, is the biggest thing. We're really working on making sure that we don't get too high, don't get too low. But honestly, just a really fun group of people. Like, if you ever get to be around them, we're always joking. And obviously, when we're on the court, like, we're locked in, we're competitive. But just people who are just, like, happy about life, you know, and enjoy what they're doing for a living.
No, I'm excited to see you guys on the court. And there is something to be said about being able to find your joy and do your job at the same time. That's when it's good.
For sure. For sure.
I also want to ask you about the charity work you do. I think it's really cool how you support teachers around the country. I know your sister worked as an educator, and I know it is hard. Teacher wish lists are a real thing, trying to get enough supplies for your kids. What can you tell us about the work you do to help support teachers in schools?
It's something kind of I've just thought about, and because my sister was needing help trying to do her classroom, and I just really didn't understand why teachers had to pull out of their own pockets in order to help out with their classrooms. So it's something that's near and dear to my heart. I have a ton of educators who have just been not the focal point of my life, but have been a very adamant part of who I am and who I've grown to be. So it was just something, an idea that I came across and thought about with other people that helped me with my foundation. And it just made sense. And once we got the help to be able to do it, it was pretty much a no-brainer. Just find a way to support these teachers and a way that would actually help them and not just give them something and then we leave. Like, schools know now that they can work with my foundation and be able to have their wish lists granted and also take care of their teachers for a day.
It is an awesome thing, the Ariel Atkins Foundation helping teachers. Thank you so much for being a part of this, for joining us. Anything else you want to add really quick about the season or let people know about before we get ready to start it here?
Nah, just sit back and enjoy the show.
Oh, I like that attitude.
Love it. That's the promo. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us. That was Ariel Atkins. As we get big news here on 670 The Score, we are partnering with the Chicago Sky to broadcast 7 games this season and 2 at home against the Indiana Fever.
Maybe I'll get David Haw to pop me some popcorn and then go to the game and sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
I love that idea. Does. Yes, the man knows.
He's doing that tomorrow morning,
by the way. Popcorn. That's right. That's exciting with Molly and Hawes. We get ready for Crosstown. There's been so much today. We take a quick break and we will come back with a little bit more on the news about Caleb Williams and the article that just came out on ESPN earlier, a couple hours ago now. This is Rahimi and Harris and you on 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Who's still with us in one of the busiest hours I've ever had in my broadcast career? Who's still with us?
If you missed, I'm still here.
You are. And
I'm still here.
I thank you for that.
Yeah.
You are my friend in life and you are my partner on the show. You are listening to Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We just had a major station announcement. If you missed it, go back, listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. We had extended time with the Chicago Sky today, thanks in part to not only The Score, but the Sky for making it happen, of course. Adam Fox, the president and CEO of the Sky, joined us, and Ariel Atkins, to talk about the 7 games that we get to broadcast with the Chicago Sky. It starts on May 22nd against the New York Liberty at 7 o'clock. Kylan Williams on play-by-play. Yours truly, part of the analyst team. I'm going to try to be as tall as Bill Wennington. No, I'm not. That will never physically happen. Maybe I can tell some jokes, and I can be as lucky as Bill is in my humor. And Alyssa Bergamini, the common thread there. Alyssa will be hosting our pre- and post-game shows. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you missed it at 1 o'clock, Seth Wickersham, the author of not only the article, but the book that we will not be able to stop talking about, American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback, publishing in September. I can't I can't process mentally what I've just gone through in the past hour, just trying to like sit there and I want to do less talking when I think about these quotes. But man, you and I were saying in the break, there's some stuff here that we're going to have to marinate on because there's a lot.
It is a short article because obviously it's coming out of excerpts from a book and it's promoting the book.
I said it earlier.
Yeah, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. Listen.
American Kings. I can't do it. We need Dan Levy again. In a world.
The most important quote to me, and I think the most the quote that should draw the most importance and attention from you when you read this story is this one. This is coming from early in the season because we got a timeline from the author, Seth Wickersham, of last year, Caleb Williams' rookie season, in which he says, Seth Wickersham writes this, "At times, Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. Quote, no one tells me what to watch. I just turn it on. End quote. That's what Caleb Williams told his dad about his experience as a rookie quarterback, in which he was sacked a league-leading 68 times. I believe that's the third most sacks ever for a quarterback. It's either second or third most quarterbacks.
The point is 68 times is really bad. It's David Carr like numbers. You're right about that.
Yes. So the reason why I say that's the most important quote in this article is because everything else you could argue is from the past, as in it doesn't matter anymore because a lot of the things that happened, they ultimately decided not to avoid playing for the Bears and not trying to play 1 year in the UFL as a way to avoid playing for the Bears. And instead, they said, I can do it. Caleb Williams talking about what he told his dad in his approach to whether or not he wanted to play for the Bears as opposed to getting up with a guy he built a really good relationship with over the draft combine and since then, and Kevin O'Connell, the Minnesota Vikings head coach, who he would prefer to have played for going into the draft.
Yeah, and I think the reason why you've got to like say everything is because it all needs absolute as clear context as we can give it. This was previous to the draft. Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, is the one giving a lot of these quotes to Seth Wickersham. And the reason is because things did change. And yeah. Now we get to go back. We will marinate on this tonight. We will bring it up tomorrow in our show because there are so many questions that we have to have answered about how this thing fell apart and what finally elicited some change. That quote sticks to you about the film, and you know which one sticks out to me. We're drafting him no matter what.
Ryan Poles.
I mean, that is...
Stood on business,
but
didn't
also...
Didn't flinch.
Also, you're sending a message there that you're taking a player whether or not he wants to be a part of your team. And that deserves some marinating as well, which I know we will do. We have more giveaways as well, because this is just one of those whiz-bang type of days that we have here at The Score. Which one are we giving away now?
This is Brick House Broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Our broadcast.
You, me...
Grody, too.
Grody, Ian
Grote.
Happ.
Yeah, if that doesn't get you going, call us 6 to the Score contest line. 312-540-0670, 540-0670. We'll win a pair of tickets to our live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigleyville with special guest Ian Happ on May 28th. It is all brought to you by Verizon. And if you're lucky enough, they got the kitchen open because they have absolutely fabulous food at Brick House Tavern.
Chicken tenders.
They didn't pay me to say that. I have bought food from them. I enjoy being there.
Chicken tenders.
It's also everything else, like the sandwiches. Back in the day, they used to have a poke bowl.
Chicken tenders.
The poke bowl was really good.
I'm a fan of the classics, as they call them.
The chicken tenders are great.
That's why I play 8-bit video games when Matt Spiegel doesn't duck me.
I also love 8-bit video games. Would you like to talk about that with one Matt Spiegel?
I'm sure Matt and Lawrence have more important things to talk to us about than 8-bit video games that Matt Spiegel doesn't want to play.
Wow, I can't believe you did that again. Matt Spiegel is here. I am happy to talk to him. He is also joined by Lawrence Holmes, who I'm also happy to talk to. We will do that next on The Score.